Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Our ushers have a half sheet of paper about like this. So gentlemen, if you will make ready with those and go ahead and get those passed out to all those in the building tonight, boys and girls alike, all right? So we'll get them to everybody that we can possibly get them to this evening. And you're going to want to hang on to that because we're going to use it at the end. And so just put that right there in the chapter of Acts chapter 24. And while they're doing that, let's stand together for the scripture reading this evening. We will not read the entire chapter, but we will read verse 24 down to verse number 27. Chapter 24 of the book of Acts, and then verse 24 down to verse 27, just to set the context and the stage for us tonight. And then we're actually going to, for our entire study, back all the way up into chapter 23, but we won't do that for our scripture reading. We'll be kind to your feet, and we won't make you stand for the reading of both of those chapters, all right? So verse number 24 of chapter 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, this is Paul, so and as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That's a good response to hearing the good news of the gospel. Man, he hears the good news of the gospel. He hears what Christ has done, and he trembles. He's moved by it. He's troubled by it. That's what the word trembled is. He's bothered by it. But then he answered, verse 25, and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Man, even though he has a good response, man, he makes the wrong decision. Even though he has the right feeling, even though he's moved in the right direction, man, he makes the wrong decision when it comes to making a decision for Christ. Go thy way for right now. I'll call you when it's more convenient for me to make a decision for God and for good. Right now, I just don't have the time for God. But when I do have the time for God, that's when I'll make a decision for God. How many of you know if you're waiting for a convenient season, that time will never come? That time will never come. Man, verse number 26, this is Felix, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Man, instead of being concerned about his spiritual condition, man, he was looking to Paul for a bribe. He wanted Paul to give him a bribe, and he would have let Paul out of prison. But Paul didn't give him a bribe. Paul just preached Christ to him. Man, he thought about that. He weighed that out. Man, he responded in a good way, but he made the wrong decision in the end. He said, I don't have time right now for God. I don't have time for this when it's more convenient. But in the meantime, do you have a bribe for me? Because I'll let you out of prison if you had a bribe. Paul doesn't give him one. Wherefore, he sent for him to the oftener and communed with him. Verse number 27, but after two years, how long? Man, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would use it in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As we prepare to enter into the new year, we should be determined to not let opportunities for God and for good pass us by. We should be determined to let the Lord be Lord over our lives. This is what we talked about this morning. We should be determined to let God be God in our life. And as we leave the old year and as we enter into the new year, we should say to ourselves, man, by the grace of God, this coming year, 2018, will be better than 2017. This is what we should desire. Man, by the grace of God, 2018 will be a better year than 2017 was. This should be our heart's desire, that we should press, that there should be this spirit inside of all of us where we are desiring to always abound in the work of the Lord, to always be moving forward, to always be advancing for the cause of Christ. And this time of the year is a great time to really step back, consider what happened in 2017, man, think it through, but then look to 2018 and say, what can we do? What decision can we make that would cause 2018 to be better than 2017? I would agree with the old adage that if you keep doing what you've been doing, you will keep getting what you've been getting. If you do what you've always done, you will get what you always got. And if we want changes relationally, and if we want changes emotionally, and if we want changes spiritually, well then it's time that we make some changes. It's time that we make a decision that things will be different for God and for good in our lives. That things aren't going to just be the same. It's not just going to be the same way it was. You know, you've heard the saying, well, it is what it is, right? You've heard that. Well, it is what it is. Well, and generally what that means is we failed to take action early on in our lives, and now we're stuck with the result. That's generally what that means. Man, but here is Paul standing in front of the governor, Felix, and he's presenting to Felix this opportunity for Felix to make, man, his future better than his past. Man, to make changes in his life in the moment, and yet Felix says, I have no time for God. We don't do a lot of titles with sermons, but if we had to title that one or this one, it would simply be that title right there. No time for God. No time for God. Okay, so let me catch you up in the story. Here's what's happening. The Apostle Paul is headed or has been desiring to be in Jerusalem. Last week, Raphael covered this passage of Scripture for us. Man, he had this desire to move into Jerusalem, to go to Jerusalem. He felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, even though everyone was warning him, don't go that way. There's nothing but pain and heartache and trouble for you there. And yet Paul, he determined with this kind of unwavering commitment, he continued to Jerusalem. He gets to Jerusalem and he isn't there, man, just a few days, and he is immediately arrested when he walks into the temple. He's immediately put into shackles. And once he gets arrested, there's this large frenzy around Paul. Man, and the crowd, they begin to set this kind of mob mentality. They go after Paul. Man, all these accusations are laid on Paul. And they start beating Paul, working him over. And Paul claims his Roman citizenship. He says, whoa, before you do anything else, you need to know I am a Roman citizen. Send me to Rome. And this is basically so that he doesn't get killed right there in Jerusalem. And if you go back to chapter 23, verse 27, man, here's the governor, Felix. And Felix says, verse number 27, this man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Man, so in comes Felix, and he kind of saves the day for Paul. Man, and he brings Paul out of this very troubling situation, and then he listens to the accusation against Paul, and then he even listens to Paul himself. In fact, the accusation against Paul in verse number 5 of chapter 24, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow. Don't you just love the way the scripture reads, right? We have found this man, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Man, what a wonderful testimony to the ministry of Paul. Man, this guy, he's caused problems everywhere he's went. Iconium, Antioch, Lystra. You can look back all the way through Acts, and you can see Paul showing up in towns, preaching Christ, man, bringing revival, people getting saved. Man, it's bad for business. It's bad for the temple. It's bad for the pagan rulers. It's bad for those workers of black magic. It's bad. I mean, over and over, this has been the story all through Acts surrounding the ministry of Paul. This is a pestilent fellow. And this is their accusation against him. Man, they hear the accusation. Verse number 10, the Apostle Paul, he sets his defense before Felix against those who have made this accusation against him. Look at verse number 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, he answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up from Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Man, here the Apostle Paul stands in front of the council, stands in front of the man who's responsible for his freedom and for his imprisonment. Man, and he seizes the opportunity. If we want 2018, if we desire 2018 to be better than 2017, three things from what Paul does in this passage that we can do. Number one, man, seize present opportunities. That's number one. Seize present opportunities. Far too often we allow procrastination to rob us of spiritual opportunities. Far too often we allow procrastination to rob us of our own growth or to rob us of the advancement of the gospel. Man, here's what the Apostle Paul says. This is what I confess to you, that what they say is heresy, I do in fact worship the God that they say. Man, he says, I worship this God. Why? Because of the resurrection of the dead. Paul, in this point in his life, he could have been easily tempted, man, to argue for his release. He could have been easily tempted to argue for his side of how he's been wronged. Man, Paul could have been easily tempted to argue about how they were mistreating him. But instead of that, the Apostle Paul takes this opportunity, man, to make a statement about his faith. He takes this opportunity to make a statement about his belief in Christ. In fact, he does the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 23. "And this I do for the gospel's sake." Man, what does he do for the gospel's sake? Man, you back up right there. He became weak. He became strong. He made himself all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, Paul says everywhere he went, this was his desire. Everywhere he went, this is what he wanted to do. Man, to seize the opportunity, to seize the present opportunity to make a difference for God and for good. Man, so a brief side note on this point, right? I feel like many times we are hesitant or we procrastinate in giving out the gospel, in sharing the gospel, in soul winning opportunities, in presenting the gospel to other people, because we don't feel like we are quite capable enough, or we don't feel like we've been the best example that we should have been. And so we pull back, and instead of sharing the gospel and giving the gospel at those specific moments and in those opportunities, man, we pull back because we feel like for whatever reason we've disqualified ourselves from sharing the gospel. And so we don't take advantage of the opportunities, man, to give the gospel to our neighbors, or to give the gospel to our coworkers, or to give the gospel to, you know, our friends or family members, to give the gospel to our boss or to our employees. Man, instead of taking opportunities, man, for whatever reason, we shy away from that. We pull away from that. But the Apostle Paul doesn't pull away from that. Man, the Apostle Paul is in prison. He's in shackles. Man, the Apostle Paul could have had this spirit that says, oh, man, if I would have listened to everybody else, and I wouldn't be in this situation. If I would have just done what he said, then I wouldn't be here. If I would have done what they said, then I wouldn't have. And instead of pouting, and instead of having this pity party, the Apostle Paul says, I became all things to all men. Why? So that I might preach Christ. And he takes advantage of the opportunities to give out the gospel. Listen, this ought to be a New Year's resolution for every believer in this room, to take advantage of giving out the gospel at every possible opportunity, to seize the opportunities to be a messenger for Christ, to seize the opportunity to tell someone about Christ. All right, so you got this piece of paper right here? You got this piece of paper right here? This is New Year's resolution. This is what I'd like for you to do. This is what I'd like for you to do. You say, okay, Pastor, that's it. I'm gonna make 2018 better than 2017. I'm gonna take advantage of every opportunity to give out the gospel. But that's kind of vague, isn't it? I mean, it sounds good, it's really vague, but what is the action point behind it? So I want to be more specific than that. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask you to write down the names of five people you know that you need to share the gospel with. Five names of people that you know you need to share the gospel with. Maybe they're saved, maybe they're not. You don't know. But five names of people that you need to share the gospel with. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to begin to pray for opportunities for you to give the gospel to those five people. I'm going to ask for you, just begin praying. Man, tomorrow morning, begin praying, or tomorrow afternoon, whenever you roll out of bed, right? Begin praying for opportunities to share the gospel with those people. Hey, listen, this is it. This is the task committed to us as a church. What? To spread the gospel, not just all over the globe through our Faith Promise Missions program, but also to spread the gospel all over our city right here in Long Beach. And who better to give the gospel to, and who better to share the gospel to them than you and me? Than you and me. Man, so I'm going to ask you five names to begin to pray for right now that God in 2018 will give you the opportunity to give them the gospel. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a doctor or a nurse. Maybe it's your favorite restaurant and you always get that one certain waiter and you need to share the gospel with him. I don't know what it is, but five people's name that you write down and say, this is who I need to share the gospel with, these five people. Because here's the thing. We can make this kind of fluffy decision and say it like, okay, I'm going to give out the gospel in 2018. Right, but how? And to who? And when? It's like saying, I'm going to lose weight in 2018. But tomorrow's the first. I mean, that's a holiday, I can't start then. I want to have some Krispy Kreme donuts then, right? I mean, that's a holiday, so that's a free day. And then, man, Tuesday, well, that's your first day back to work, and you got a headache, and, you know, you have the food hangover, so, man, you definitely got to eat then. And then Wednesday, that's a long day because you go to church that night. And then Thursday, man, you get one good day in on Thursday. Man, you followed the diet rules on Thursday. But then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, here comes the weekend, and out the diet's gone, right? Where they said a resolution lasts about 2 weeks. Right, the average resolution lasts about 2 weeks. Why? Because we don't have a plan that's committed. And I'm not talking about your diet plan, but I am talking about the plan of how are you, how am I, how are we as a church going to get the gospel to our friends, neighbor, loved ones if you and I don't tell them? If you and I don't share it with them? If you and I don't deliver the news to them? Man, we need to have this kind of committed plan. Five people, man, I'm going to challenge this over and over in 2018. Man, who are we reaching? What visitors are we bringing to church? What coworkers are we inviting? What neighbors are we extending invitations to? And we'll drop as many hooks in the water in 2018 as we can. Man, Easter days and big days and anniversary Sundays and family worship nights. And man, we'll have all kinds of opportunities and all kinds of formats, but it comes down to this: you and I have got to invite them, and you and I have got to share the gospel with them. So instead of just saying, I'm going to give out the gospel in 2018, and it's fluffy, and it's cloud, and there's no real concrete substance to it, I'm challenging you. Five people that you will make a concerted effort to share the gospel with in 2018. Five people. And here's what I know will happen. Man, if we share the gospel with those five people and those five people follow the Lord Jesus Christ, man, here's what I know. God will open up so many more opportunities beyond that. Man, it won't just be five. It'll be 10 or 15. And we'll get a burning desire in our heart. Man, it's what Nehemiah said. Man, the word of God was like a fire that was shut up in my bones, and I couldn't keep quiet about it. I had to say something. Man, seize present opportunities. Man, 100 people, man, they give the gospel to five people. Man, that's 500 people in 2018 who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus because of our resolution. Okay, let's do the math then. If 200 people commit to give the gospel to five people, how many people come? How many people hear the good news? How many people? 1,000. You're quick. You're fast. It's a fast group tonight. Man, it's a fast group. If 300 people give the gospel to five people each, how many people then? Like, I don't know. It's a really big number, Pastor. We get the point, right? We could keep going. And this is the task laid on your shoulders, laid on my shoulders, laid on our shoulders as a church. Man, into the highways and the hedges, compelling them to come in. There's no joy like the joy of leading somebody, friend, neighbor, coworker, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, last week, our Christmas service, we had one of our young men in our college ministry. He brought a friend with him to the Christmas service. They sat right down here in the third row. The young man's name was Daniel, and they you know, listen to the service. He didn't respond to the invitation. Later that day, I'm sitting in the airport and flying back to my parents' house, and I get a text message from the young man in our church, and he says, Pastor, I had to share this with you. We stopped at lunch, and Daniel accepted Christ as his Savior this afternoon. I sent that out to several of our deacons and church leaders and said, hey, this is the best news ever. Man, this morning, that young man was in church. He's like, I got not just Daniel, but also I got another friend. He's coming. We got to get coffee. We got to get together. Man, they're ready. They're going to get saved. I just know they're going to get saved. They're ready to get saved, you know. Man, he is excited about giving out the good news. Hey, friend, what about you? What about you? What about me? Man, God placed you in that office. God put you in that community. God gave you that job. God gave you those friends for the reason of telling them about Him. Man, for the sake, for the reason, for the purpose of telling them about Him. Man, let's seize present opportunities to give out the gospel. Man, number two, the Apostle Paul, he maintained a personal purity. Look at verse number 16. That's where we stopped. Look at verse number 16. And herein do I exercise myself. to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Man, it's difficult and it's painful. It's difficult and painful to root sin out of our lives. But if we just ignore sin, it doesn't go away quietly. If we just pretend like it's not there, it doesn't just go away. It is difficult. It's painful. Man, it's tedious. It's hard work. Man, but Paul, he does the hard work of maintaining a personal purity. Man, the difference between Felix and Paul, Paul is willing to confess his sin, to turn it over to God, to give it to God. And Felix is unwilling to confess his sin. Felix apparently knew a lot about Christianity, but he was unwilling to surrender and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, Paul maintains this integrity. Paul maintained a blameless conscience before God. It does not say that Paul was blameless before God. It says that Paul exercised himself so that he would be blameless before God. Wait, you say, what does that mean? That means the same thing it means in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. I mean, that's the goal. Man, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, when we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Man, and if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, what's Paul talking about in this passage? Man, I exercise myself so that I might have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. It means this. He did the hard work of maintaining a right relationship with God. He did the hard work of maintaining purity with God, not sinning against God, obeying God. But he also did the hard work of maintaining integrity with his fellow man. Man, here's Paul. Paul could have rationalized why he deserved to give Felix a bribe. Paul could have rationalized why he deserved to buy his way out of prison. Paul could have used corrupt means in order to accomplish a noble cause. But instead, Paul chose to be a man of integrity. Paul chose to be a man who would maintain a clear conscience before God. Listen, moving into 2018... Just wishing that you will do better will not help you do better. Just wishing to do better doesn't make us do better. Man, how do you think Paul came to this place where when he's in prison, when he's in shackles, we know he's going to be there for 2 years. How do you think Paul came to this place that this is the way he responded? He responded with integrity. He responded with honesty. He responded with purity. How do we think that Paul got there? Paul responded that way because Paul, early on in his life, resolved, this is the way I will be. Man, it was a predetermined decision that led Paul to make this decision. And that ought to be the same way in our hearts and lives. And that ought to be the same way in our marriages. That ought to be the same way in our work effort. That ought to be the same way in the way that we conduct our business. That ought to be the same way in which we handle ourselves in trials. That ought to be the same way we handle ourselves in conflict. That ought to be the same way that we handle ourselves then. Man, Paul moves into this place by what? By doing two things. Man, seize present opportunities. Number two, maintaining personal purity. I got your list there. Man, what area, spiritually speaking, what area do you need to do better in 2018? Man, what area do you need to commit yourself to? Man, you know what? Last year, I was too cranky, too grumpy, too grouchy. Man, I need more joy of the Lord in my heart next year. Man, we got to make the decision. We got to resolve to keep the decision. Man, number three, last one. Man, Paul, he established proper priorities. Paul established proper priorities. What are good priorities for us? Man, here's some good priorities. Man, resolve to be people of prayer. Resolve to be people of prayer. Man, the Bible says we ought to cease not to pray. Man, we ought to not stop praying. In all things, man, making prayer and supplication unto God. In all things. Man, we ought to pray about all things, making prayer and supplication to God. Man, we ought to be a people of prayer. We ought to be a people of the book. We ought to be a people who bring our lives in line with God's word. We ought to be men and women who are bringing our lives in line with the word of God, bringing our marriages in line with the word of God, bringing our attitudes and habits in line with the word of God, bringing our preferences and entertainments in line with the word of God. Man, we ought to resolve to be men and women of prayer. We ought to resolve to be a people of the book. We ought to resolve to be people who are faithful. Man, we'd be remiss to leave this out, wouldn't we? Man, as we look at 2018, we ought to commit ourselves to be people who are faithful. Man, Psalms chapter 101, verse number 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Now, what does God say? God says, he shines, he looks toward, he directs his attention toward men and women who are faithful. Let us be faithful in our homes. Let us be faithful in our marriages. Let us be faithful in our jobs. Let us be faithful in our vows. Let us be faithful in the rearing of our children. Let us be faithful in our church attendance. Man, Paul admonishing a young Timothy, man, he says this, man, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, man, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Do you see what Paul's viewpoint on church was? Man, Paul's viewpoint on church was, it is the house of God, it is the place where the living God dwells, and it is a place that is for you and for me a pillar, and it is a ground, it is a foundation of truth. To live outside the life of a local New Testament church is to be absent from the foundation and to disconnect yourself from the structure so that you have no grounding, no support that will hold your life up in this present world. Man, we would be remiss to not, at least in this part of the year, look at 2018 and say, man, we want to be faithful to the house of God. Man, we want to be faithful to church. We want to be faithful in our attendance. Man, we want to show up, but we don't just want to show up and take up a seat, but we actually want to serve and participate. We don't want to just hold down a chair. Man, we actually want to serve and participate and be a part of and be active in and be helping the church move toward its stated goals and directions. Man, what are the stated goals and direction? Man, to preach Christ and Him crucified all over Long Beach, all over Southern California, all over the state of California, all over the United States, and all over the globe. That's the stated purpose. And so all of us partnering together in order to accomplish that. All right, so I left you this little sheet of paper, right? Man, this 2018, man, how will we take advantage of the new opportunities that present themselves to us? Man, we're going to decide that we're going to seize the present opportunities. Man, we're going to decide. Man, I don't know what opportunities will come in June, July, August, but I know what opportunities are in front of me today. Man, we've said this over and over. Man, we do today what we know we're supposed to do today. Yeah, but what about and what about and what if and what if? Man, we do today what we know we're supposed to do today. Man, so seize present opportunities. Man, number two, maintain a personal purity. Number three, establish the proper priorities. Man, I know nothing better for your home, nothing better for your marriage, nothing better for your decision making in life, nothing better. I know no better institution or organization to help you prepare for life than the church. Man, so what do we need to do at 2018? We need to make the decision. We need to have the resolve that says we're going to make church the priority. priority. Man, I'm going to decide to be faithful. And not just to church, but I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm going to be faithful to my kids. I'm going to be faithful in our giving. I'm going to be faithful in our attending. I'm going to be faithful in our serving. And I don't know what decisions, I don't know what resolutions you need to make tonight. I know I need to make some. Man, but all of us should at least be making some of these. All of us should be making some of these. And I don't know who it is that God spoke to your heart about. I don't know who it is that he knocked on your heart and said, hey, this is this neighbor, this boss, this coworker. Man, you need to talk to them. You need to find out about them. It's a troubling thing, isn't it? I sat down with Amanda this afternoon. I was telling her what I was preaching tonight. And I said, man, I'm going to ask the church, find five people that you need to share the gospel with. And she goes, man, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. Well, I got to find five people. And sometimes that can be the way it is, isn't it? Man, but we need to find five people. Man, we need to meet, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Man, let's resolve this year. Man, to make 2018 better than 2017. And these three ways are three of many ways of which we can do that. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you.